Hey, glad you're here tonight. Hey, we're going to jump right into things tonight. Super, super excited that you're here. And if you're just joining us for the first time, we're starting this new series called Inside Out. And I'm not just trying to be cute. I'm trying to get us a visual picture of kind of this idea of the community of God. And what goes on inside and what goes on outside has been confused for really thousands of years, and it's caused a lot of division in the church, and it's just not been good. And so I really want to try to help clear some of that up, I think, from a biblical perspective, not from Pete's perspective. And what I would like to do is I'd like to review just a little bit about what happened last week. Last week we talked about it was the night before Jesus is going to die on the cross, and he has a last meal with his disciples, and he gets them around. It's his 12. It's his buds. It's his bros. And one of them even bails on him that night. So now he's got 11. He's like, I better hurry up because they're all leaving me. And he gets these guys together, and he says, hey, things are going to be different tomorrow. Things are going to change. And they're just kind of clueless. And he says, here's what I got to leave you. He says, I want to leave you a new commandment. I want you to love each other. And everybody there was like, yeah, we're supposed to be nice to each other. No, I want you to love one another. This is going to be like an intense thing. I want this love to be rich. I want it to be deep. I want it to be real. It's going to be hard. It's going to be probably the hardest thing you've ever done. But everyone outside is going to know who I am by how you on the inside love each other. And he starts, I think, in that moment, probably pointing out some of the things that he had done over the years that had shown love to these guys. And I love that song that we just sang, that he's calling them by name. And there's something about, even today, where there is this calling that happens, where he is calling us by name. It's something mystical, something I don't quite understand, but I know it happens in the context of this. This I do know. With all my heart, I know this. People come to know this forgiveness of Jesus based upon the love that they see within the group around him. That is what people see. That's what people are drawn to. That's what we have to be about. And I am sure that as he's having that last supper with them and he's saying, it's going to be hard, we got to love each other, I'm sure somebody was saying, yeah, but Peter's a hothead, this is going to be a hard thing to do. And I don't know, Andrew is so gossipy, and I don't know, there's just all these problems, and we have all this sin, and it's like no matter what we've tried to do to get rid of our sin before, somehow it's not gone. It's still here. And Jesus says, hey, tomorrow, high noon, I'm taking care of that for you. Tomorrow, I'm going to pay the price for that. Tomorrow, you'll be able to be cleansed because I am going to die for your sin. He didn't tell them that. They wouldn't have understood it. But we understand that. We get that. We understand. We maybe some of you are here like, I've heard that, but I don't get that. It's like, hey, that's fine. That's fine. All I'm asking you to do is to look at the community of love. And there's some beautiful things that are happening in our midst. Some unbelievable things that are happening in our midst. Some Acts chapter 2, the beginning of the church kind of things that are happening in our midst. And before I get into more details of that, I thought it would be good if we started with a story from one of you named Chelsea. And so I'm going to have Chelsea come up, and I want her to give her story.
Hi. This is kind of scary, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about my journey. In January, I never stepped into church my whole life. I wasn't raised at all with religion. It wasn't really important to my family, and I didn't know much. And the only thing I knew is my mom always told me to believe, and believe in yourself, and always made a positive impact on me. And it wasn't until my sister went through a really big time period, which got me thinking about God, but I didn't know how to act upon it and how to help her. So I pushed it aside, and this was last summer. And I came to school, and I'm on the gymnastics team here at Illinois State, and worked really hard and went through some big medical problems where I had to travel basically all over the nation to get an answer on if I can even do gymnastics again, which I started when I was 18 months old. And finally, when I got my answer, I worked really hard to try to make lineup. And my teammates were coming up to me, asking me why I wasn't making it, and I didn't know. And it was at Michigan State, we were competing there, and I didn't make lineup. And I called my mom, and I was really upset. And I was like, I didn't make lineup again, and I'm getting really frustrated. I don't know why this is happening. And my mom goes, well, you need to pray. And the first thing, I was like, I don't know how to pray. Like, do I talk out loud? Do I keep it to myself? I don't know what to do. And I was really nervous. And my mom said, just do what you feel like you have to do. So that night when I prayed, the first thing I did is I apologized for not having a direction and said how scared I was. And I didn't know where to start, and I didn't know what to do, and if he could lead me on the right path on where to start. And the next day after the meet, I was doing homework in the bone, and one of my friends from high school, Brad, came up to me and out of the blue invited me to church. And I was shocked. And the next morning, I called my mom, freaking out, and I told her what I prayed about, and I was like, I can't do this, Mom, like, I can't go, and she's like, you have to go, just go. The whole week, I was like, I can't do this, like, I'm terrified, and even the morning of, like, I was texting Brad, like, 20 minutes before, like, what do I wear? Like, I don't even know what to wear, I don't know what to do, I've never been in church before. And he was like, it's fine, like, it's okay. And the second I stepped into the church, it was the most amazing feeling I could ever describe. Just in my heart, like this almost like burning sensation, this urge for me want to do more and more. And then a couple weeks later, Brad invited me to Encounter, and I came, and it was even more amazing. And then people started inviting me to small groups, and I started getting really involved in two small groups and just really involved in the whole church thing. And just yesterday, I decided to get baptized, so I did that. So, okay.
Don't let that face disappear from your mind. That's why Jesus has come. He's come for people to know him, to experience him, to experience forgiveness. And so I don't know if your story is a lot like Chelsea's, but mine is. Because I was somebody that was on the outside. And here's something I think we all have to understand. This inside-outside thing, some of you think you've always been on the inside, and the truth is, you haven't. We all started as an outsider. Well, I've been born, I was raised in the church, I was born. No, you weren't. You're born into sin. And you've been on the outside looking in, and you needed at some point in your life to have Jesus call your name. And there's something very, very, very attractive about a place where it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter how you've talked, it doesn't matter what you drink, it doesn't matter who you've been with, it doesn't matter the things that everyone else seemed to judge you on, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you got questions, it doesn't matter if you're one of those people that just is really kind of cynical of the whole thing, it doesn't matter. This is a place that's safe. It's a place that you just welcome people to come and observe, because you know all we're doing here? We're just doing what Jesus commanded, that new commandment, love one another. And in this circle, we just love one another. And we invite you to observe. We invite you to come and to take a look at this place. That's all we're doing. God is the one who calls. When we start getting the idea of we're the ones that need to call, things go wrong. When we start making tracks and getting all the details and handing them out and thinking we're going to save people, it don't work. We need to love one another and bring people into this safe and wonderful and inviting and forgiving environment. That is what the role of the church is. And it's someone like Chelsea who is scared. I've heard about these Christians. I've heard some of these people can do. I know that this thing can get kind of weird, and I'm just kind of wondering what I even need to wear. Now she's like, no big deal. It's a place where it's where you can just be you. And this is kind of what started happening in the early church. This is what started happening right after Jesus died and he rose from the dead and all these sins are forgiven, and a big group of people ended up coming on the opening day of church, Acts chapter 2. All these people, thousands of people, ended up accepting this forgiveness, and it felt really good, and they developed this community, and all these really cool things started happening. And here is a description in Acts chapter 2 of what it was like. It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. This is like days after the Holy Spirit came. This is days after the church opened. This is days after Jesus rose from the dead. This is baby butt fresh new, okay? And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread together in their homes. They ate with glad and sincere hearts. There's something about sincere heart that I really like. There's a lot of dinners going on in campus and all over this country and all over the state where people are like eating together and they're smiling and they pretend like they really like you. But there's not sincerity. There's glad and sincere hearts. They were eating together. I'm sensing that within our ministry right now. I don't know if you can understand where I'm going, but right now, the beginning of this semester, just coming off fall retreat, I'm experiencing firsthand, and I know you are too, some of this description that we're reading here. And it says they were praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. You mean even people that are across the railroad tracks from me that didn't quite get raised like I did? You mean even athletes and math majors? What? These people are like mixing all the people. They enjoyed the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Because there was this glad, there was this sincere, there was this enjoying of favor of all the people thing that was going on. They were loving each other really well. And what ended up happening? People started parting shoulders and saying, me too. The Lord added daily to the number of those who were being saved. And that's what's been happening on this campus, in this ministry at the beginning of this year. We got a girl named Abby shows up. I'd like to get baptized week one. Woo, all right. And then in week two, we got Jacqueline says, you know what, I've been studying this stuff and I'm seeing this love and I just really like what I see and I'd like to get baptized too. And right after that, we've got Alyssa and Aaron at fall retreat. Says, guess what, I think I need to be baptized. And right after that, Jordan said, well, I don't know if they're going to do it, I'm going to do it too. And so Jordan ends up getting baptized last Monday. And then yesterday, we've got Dusty, Riley, and Chelsea. The Lord's adding daily to what's going on right here. And there's an energy that's happening. This is not of us. This is because we're just loving each other. We're loving God, and people are seeing it, and they're coming in. This is how it works. This is how it's supposed to be. But I'm here to tell you something. It ain't going to last. Not without a little work. Because right now, we can fool ourselves into thinking, man, this is a great start. This is the way it's going to be. This is how it's going to end. But if you keep reading in Acts, after Acts 2, man, real soon afterwards comes Acts 5 and 6. And all of a sudden, you start seeing sin re-enter the equation. And the community of God doesn't know how to handle it. And I've been on this campus now, this is my 17th fall, and I have seen something very similar that happens every year. We start off on this high, we start off experiencing what God, only God can do, and we all go to fall retreat, and it's like, why was fall retreat so powerful? It was so powerful because we did two things well that weekend. We loved God, and we loved each other. Those are the two greatest commandments, by the way, that Jesus said that we need to, all of the law is summed up in those two great commandments. And so what we do is we get away, and there's really not much of an opportunity for the sin problems and the sin temptations that we have in everyday life to kind of enter in, because everybody is going to bed, all the guys are going to bed in the boys' cabin, and all the girls are going to bed in the girls' cabin. Well, that's convenient. That makes things a little bit easier, doesn't it? And it's like we get up the next day and we're gonna worship like God like every 3 hours. We're gonna sing some songs to the Lord. That makes things pretty easy. That doesn't happen every day up here in good old Normal, does it? And it's time to eat, time to drink. You know what? We're gonna serve lemonade all weekend. That's all we're gonna drink. Isn't that great? Take all the options away. And we come back to campus and you know, people aren't drinking lemonade, and they're not going to the same places they're not going down to the tabernacle to worship. They're going down to the bar, and they're not necessarily sleeping all in separate barracks. It's like, well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do with this? Because what made that fall retreat so special is that we were all committed to loving God, loving people, and the sin issue is kind of removed. And so this is what you as a community, I'm not talking to you as an individual necessarily, this is what you as a community are probably going to do, because I've just been doing this for a few years, okay? You're going to have the best of heart, you're going to have the best of intention, and you're going to say, this is what we need to do. We need to make some rules. Fall retreat was sweet, so we got to make this a fall retreat. Duh. Let's make this a big fall retreat. And here's what we're going to do. We're gonna make sure that all the guys are like over here and all the girls are over here. That'll be good. We'll split that rows. Yeah, that'll be the first thing we'll do. And we'll serve lemonade. And if people want options, we got pink and we got yellow. I mean, this is what we'll do. And every one of our problems is gonna be gone. And as good of an intention as that is, I want you to understand what the outsider sees. The person who is wanting in on this community, the person who needs in, the person who might be having that calling of the Lord and say, in the center of this circle is a man named Jesus who wants to give you the biggest hug you've ever received. He wants to give you forgiveness. He wants to give you a fresh start. And he says, you're not going to find me just by my voice, probably. I'm going to put some people around me in this inner circle that are going to love each other well. And you're going to like the way they interact with each other. You're going to like the way that they have conflict with each other because it's in a healthy context. You're going to like how they treat each other. You're going to like the honesty. You're going to like this community in a way that you're drawn to the edge. Just like I had this picture of what it would have been like if the entire campus could have been down at Fall Retreat at our campfire, and we see people getting up and they're sharing their hearts and they're talking about sin in their life, and not a person there is throwing a stone. Everybody in that circle is embracing those people, loving those people. Jesus is at the center of it, and I am confident that there are thousands of people on this campus that are aching for that, and they want in. And you're saying, then we need to get this cloud of sin, this murky water, cleaned up. To which I say, nice, nice try, nice effort, nice idea. Because, yeah, there is something attractive about a place that is clean, about a place that offers something different. Don't want to deny that. But as soon as we put up a rule, as soon as we put up a policy, as soon as we put up a sign outside the door, and we just say, you know what, we're just not going to be allowed to drink certain things, we're not going to be allowed to be around certain people, we're not allowed to be within a ruler's length of a person from the opposite sex, we're not allowed for these different things, we end up painting a big red line on the ground. And we say, see, aren't we clean? Come on in. And the outsiders are being like, no, thank you. Rule city. Can you see how that? Can you see how the people on the inside think they're doing a good thing? People on the inside think that they're making this place a holy place that people are going to be trying. No. Rules kill the plan of God. The plan of God is that there's love. And do not forget what drew you in. It was love. And so what I'm asking for us to do, first thing, is don't make blatant statements, don't make blatant policies, don't make blatant rules. Because as soon as you do, you are killing the very culture and the very environment that God wants to set up. So instead of a policy, I want you to have a conversation. Conversations are messy. Oh, are they messy? They're kind of hard because, well, I could just text. No, don't text. You're going to talk to them. You're going to talk to them. And if there is something that's clouding up this community, if there's something that you're like, you know what? This is really bothering me because I got a friend who I think is right here, and I know that they're outside wanting in. They're hearing the call of God in here, but this is in the way. And you're like, let's just make a rule. Wouldn't that be better? Let's just make a rule. No. You have a conversation. And you got to go to this person. You got to tap them on the shoulder. And you got to be like, hey, I know you're trying to do well. And I know that you love this guy, Jesus. And I know he's done a lot for you. And I think that's awesome. And that's great. And I want you to know, I got a friend who's there, who's wanting to get there. And I know that this might sound offensive to you, but what you're doing is actually kind of keeping a barrier between them. It's kind of murking this up. And I'm not telling you what to do or how to live, but I'm telling you that we need to have a conversation about how this is working because it's not exactly drawing this person in. Do you see how it's kind of messy? Do you see how it's kind of awkward? But do you see how it's necessary? Because this is what happens. That person who's on the outside, if he sees a rule, he's like, oh, forget it. But if he sees that there's conversation happening there, if he sees that you guys are working this thing out, man, I'm telling you, I was a person on that outside, and I saw people work this out. And I'm like, you know what? They care enough about me that they're going to have a conversation. This place is actually still consistent with that love thing that Jesus talked about. We need to have conversations instead of rules. Are we willing to do that? Have conversations. It's so much easier to have a policy. It's like, here, fill out a form. Here, fill out a contract. Here, fill out this. No, we're not going to do that here. We're going to have conversations. The other thing that I think becomes an obstacle to this place is the outsider needs to have a clear message given to them. And this is the message that I would love everybody to hear. We don't judge you. We don't. And if we do, it's not Jesus' plan. Don't judge Jesus. Judge the immaturity or whatever that might be. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem, because I'm going to get ahead of myself. I'm almost getting ahead of myself here. That's pretty easy. Now, inside this community, inside this church, I'm going to categorize sin level one and sin level two, okay? Because we need to have a clear picture of what happens inside this place. Sin level one stuff, that's like just understanding that I am a person that needs grace and I need some help. And when I came into this place, I knew I needed forgiveness, and I'm just humble about it, and I lay it down, and God takes care of that sin, and it's a beautiful thing. And that's what we're starting to see. We're starting to see with all these baptisms as people saying, I'm just surrendering, and God's taking it over, and sin's taken care of. And yeah, I still struggle a little bit. We're not perfect. No big deal. That's most of us. But occasionally, there's sin level two. And sin level two, that's where it gets really messy. And that's when you got somebody that's in the church that has a certain sin in their life, And they're so proud of it. Man, I am awesome and I'm not changing. And there's something about that that confuses people, that really does put up a barrier to people. And there are pockets of people. There's like groups of three that would get together and they'd say, you know what? We're just not changing. We're going to have a full-on, super huge keg party, and it's going to be every other night. We're going to invite everybody to come to it, and it's just about us, and I don't care. We got the freedom to do it. We're going to do it, and they're just proud of it. That's got to be dealt with differently. There's also maybe the group of two that happens, and this is what's going to happen. You don't think this is going to happen. This is going to happen, people. I've been here. This is going to happen. There's going to be like, isn't this just awesome? We're just in this community. Everything's fine. We just think right now, tonight, everything's never going to change. It's going to be like this forever. It's just going to be love, 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 and it's going to be wonderful, wonderful. We'll just keep having baptisms all year until we have a situation like I just said, or until we have two people. I don't know which two of you, but there's going to be two of you that are going to have a fight. And they're going to make you, the rest of you, choose. You on my side, you on her side. You're on her side, you're on my side. Whose side do you want? And there ends up being these little divisions because there's this conflict, and the people on the outside are looking in, and they're like, that's what I thought. Hypocrites. How many times have you heard that one? And then there's other times where you might even have one person that says, you know what? I'm just going to blatantly, without any guilt in my soul, going to have sex with three people. And you think, that's not going to happen. It's going to happen, people. You know it's going to happen. And so how do we handle the pride inside the circle? That's the real issue. And that is what happens in our text tonight. I'm kind of leading you up to how we handle this, because it's so important that we keep this a place that people are attracted to. You following me? You guys with me? So how are we handling category sin number two? All right, let's read. This is Paul writing. He says, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that even the pagans do not tolerate. He's saying, hey, sex is one thing. Sleeping with your boyfriend, that's slip-up stuff. It happens all the time. There's something going on in this church, and he knows about it. He's writing to Corinth. And this Corinth church is probably a church of like 50 people, okay? It's a small church, a couple of your small groups together. And there's one dude in there that's like, yep, that's me. And I ain't changing. He says a man is sleeping with his father's wife. Now, it sounds like he's sleeping with his mom. And that, I don't know, might be true, but I don't think so. It's probably like a stepmom or something like that. And everybody on the outside is going, gross. I mean, even the outsiders are like, dude, you Christians are like taking this to a whole new level. What are you guys doing, man? This is crazy. And there's this obvious sin that's in the middle of this circle. He says, and you're proud. See, that's the whole pride thing I'm talking about. He's proud of it. He's not changing. It's like this is a slip up. This isn't like this is a once in a while thing. This is a pride filled thing, and he's not changing. Shouldn't you rather have gone into mourning and have put this person out of your fellowship, the man who's been doing this? Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast leavens through the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch as you really are. You really are new people. This really is a new community. And we got to get the prideful, I'm not changing mentality out, because God uses humility. And wasn't it humility that drew you in? And isn't it a soft heart? I mean, listen to Chelsea's heart. She's just, I'm sorry, God, that I don't know how to pray to you. Oh, I'm just thinking, God's just going, oh, give her to me. And that's where I think we go wrong, is when we think that pride has any place in this inner circle. No, it's humility. And he loves people like Chelsea that don't even know where to start. Oh, Perfect. Perfect. Story goes on. I think. I have written you in my previous letter not to associate with the sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy, or the swindlers, or the idolaters. In that case, you'd have to leave the whole world. So here he is. He's clearing it up for you. He's saying, hey, guys, listen. There is an inside. There's this community God. And there is an outside. And we love everybody the same. Okay? So just because you got someone that's prideful on the inside, and occasionally we got to put these people out, and when we put them out, it isn't like good riddance. It's like, no, we're putting you out in love because you need to maybe fully indulge in that before you can come back to this place where God's calling you to. Sometimes the shortest route to the cross is to be out and then back in. You know what I'm talking about. And it's everything's done in love. Everything's done in love. And that is exactly kind of the picture that is going on here. And he says, hey, I wasn't talking about not hanging out with these people over here. Well, they got sin in their life. So what? So do I. Well, they're not changing. They're not repenting. Why should they? They're not in the kingdom yet. Oh, but I can't hang out with those people because they drink beer. But you know what? These people that drink beer over here, why would they change? These people are doing, that's kind of an it's kind of a hard one because that's not necessarily a sin, but like the, even the blatant stuff over here where these people are like really doing, man, they're doing some really bad stuff. I probably would too, but I know something better and I'm experiencing something better in here. So we're not going to judge these people. He says, you can hang out with those people. You should hang out with those people. These are my people. It's not just you are my people and the sinner. But now I'm writing you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother but is sexually immoral or greedy or idolater or swindler or drunkard or swindler. With such a man you don't eat. What business? This is the part I really want you to hear. Now, if you're new here and you're one of these people that are creeping in on the outside, oh, I love it. I love it. I would hope that next week we could just fill this balcony up here of people that are just observers, people that don't know a thing about this community of God, but you've heard about us. You've heard that we're kind of radically loving each other, and it's appealing to a degree. You might not ever want it. Okay, that's fine. But we welcome you to observe it because it's not my job to convince you. I will never do that. My job is to love each other. God will do the calling. And here's where he says, he just repeats this at the end. I love it. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? They're not on the same standard. They're not at the same foot of the cross. They're not experiencing the same things we're experiencing. Why would we ever judge somebody on the outside of the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will take care of those outside. He'll judge those outside. Expel that wicked man from among you. Do you see what Paul's doing here? He's doing a really good job of explaining this inside-out concept. And here's my message for all of us tonight. Grace is something we don't deserve. Grace is something that I did not deserve. And it was grace that called me in when I was still a sinner. And I'm still a sinner today. And grace brought me here. And I'm asking you, if you're on the inside, man, it is so easy to be drawn to people like yourself. It is so easy to have a little party and be like, you know what? The only people we're going to invite are inside people. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to do this, and we're going to get huddled up together, and the people on the outside are going to see our backs. And isn't that going to be wonderful? This is so loving. This is so inviting. They'll figure it out. They'll just see that we're not drinking beer and they'll come on over. I'm sure they will. Any minute now. Don't be silly. We need to show grace to people. We need to get a little bit messy. We need this to be all kind of mixed up. We don't need to have lines in the sand. We don't need to have policies. These are the things that bring the church down. And these are the things, in the name of good intentions, that you might be tempted to do because you haven't been around this block 17 times. And I'm just trying to tell you right now what the route is. Love each other in a messy kind of way that's honest and real, and let the call of God be wrung out through your example of loving each other to the people that need it, so that they can come to the same place you came to, a humble place at the foot of the cross. And if you're an outsider, have some grace on us. We're all young, except me. You can have more judgment on me. I've been around a while. But have some grace on these people. They've experienced something that's real. They've experienced something that's authentic. And they want you, even when they do some really crazy things, you'd be like, that's really not helping. I know. Have grace on them, because they're trying. I hope you can see the thought pattern that's kind of going through, because we want you to experience what we experience. We don't want you to just not do fun stuff. That's not what God said. I came to get you may have life and life to the fullest. He's bringing us all in. That is our message. And the last thing is this. I don't usually promote our podcast. Some of you don't even know we do a podcast, but we got one on our website. If for no other reason, the only reason I'm telling you this is because I know that there's a lot of people that are on the outside that are wondering if this might be a place for them, but they're scared like Chelsea was. They don't even know what to wear. They're scared. Oh my gosh, I don't think I could ever go to that place. But maybe they'd listen to a podcast, and maybe they'd listen to these words right here. We love you. We don't judge you. And if you want to come and observe at a closer distance from the balcony, from the back row, please do. If you'd like to go on a mission trip that Phil's going to be heading up, we're going to be going down south, and in the spring we're going to be heading up north, and there's going to be opportunities in cities, and there's going to be opportunities at beaches to serve people. And there's going to be all kinds of things, and things are going to sprout up here in the next couple of weeks of opportunities to give and to serve and to be involved and to just be with us. We invite you to be a part of that. And there's going to be no judgment here to say, you know what? Hey, oh, I hate this us-them mentality. It's not about that. We're all one big group of people that need Jesus. And here's a beautiful thing. I'll end with this. We've been experiencing some growth lately. We've been experiencing some, I think, godly growth. And that's a tribute to the fact that this community has been doing a darn good job of loving each other. And I got campus ministers have been asking me, different guys from around the country, what are you doing in outreach? How are you getting those students in there? What kind of outreach plan you got? You going to the bars? You hanging out over here? What are you doing? You got some tracts you've been writing up? There's some good words on there? Some key verses? Is that what it is? What's your method? We love each other. Well, now, how many Christians do you have as opposed to non-Christians? I don't know. I don't count. We just love each other. And here's what ends up happening. I very rarely make these presentations to say, and this is what it means to be baptized. And then all these people raise their hands and they come down the aisle and one at a time we're baptized. That doesn't happen usually. We love each other, and you know what ends up happening? I get these taps on the shoulder. Yeah, I've been thinking about getting baptized. Oh, okay, cool. Let's do that. Boom. She gets baptized. Somebody watches that and sees that. And oh, really? And the community just starts working. That's the method. And we got to keep this place working in that direction. We got to know that category sin number one doesn't matter. Category sin number two we got to get rid of. And the category three is these people on the outside got to know without a fathom of a doubt that they're loved, accepted, and welcomed to observe this place. And what we're going to do now is I'm just going to ask you guys to stand. You can do that now. And band can come up. And this is what I'm hoping happens tonight. I'm hoping that you can feel the love around you. But more than anything else, this is what we as believers of Jesus would call a home turf, if you will. Because we've invited Jesus here. And he's right here in the center of this place. And I'm not trying to muster up some kind of emotion here. But I'm asking you in the heart of hearts, if you'll allow Jesus to call your name tonight. And we're going to sing some songs. And as a community here, you know a lot of these people, most of these people here are on the inside. And we love Jesus because of what he's done for us. I can't explain it all. You got a lot of questions and you're a skeptic. Yeah, join the club. I am too. I have been for a long time. I don't understand everything, but I know this. He's called my name. And in the midst of you listening to these other people that are just in love with Jesus, in the center of this place, let Jesus do something with you. And I'd be curious to hear what that is. Jesus, I want to thank you for tonight. I want to thank you that your gospel message is clear and that we have nothing here to take pride in. As a matter of fact, I think even the good things that happen, we take pride in. You're turning your nose up at it and it just looks ugly. And it looks ugly to the people around us too. So we just give all the attention to you, all the credit to you. And we ask for our ears to be tuned to you, our hearts to be tuned to you at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.